Seated. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, today is healing day. Today is healing day. You know, every day is healing day. But what the Lord spoke to me about a month ago was He said that I wanted you to conduct a healing service. I want you to sing about healing. I want you to preach about healing, and then I want you to lay hands on those that need to be healed. And we believe the word, and we receive that. And so the Lord chose this day to do it. And one of the things that I also did was I asked our congregation members that if you'd bring somebody that you know that needs healing, that needs to know about the healing power of God, to bring them today. So I believe that we have folks that you brought with you. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so grateful that you have come today, those of you who are new to this church. This is the first time that you've ever been here. But I want you to know that God is still healing today. Amen. He is still healing, and it is the will of God for you to be well. No question about it. He is here. And so, Father, we pray over this time, over this message, and over the ministry. And thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do. We honor you for it. We praise you for it, not only for the people that are right here, but for the people also that are watching us from all over the world. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you're ministering to us as we touch today on this topic of the healing power of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Open your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'm so excited in my heart about what the Lord has for you, what He wants to do in you. And I know that there are people in here that you need to have hands laid on you today for the healing of your body. And that's all part of what God wants to do in our lives. There are so many places and so many discussions about this. But I remember coming here, learning about this from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And I'm so grateful, and learning it from when I went to Oral Roberts University. God is our healer. He's our deliverer. And miracle days are here again. Glory to God. That was the title of one of Oral Roberts' messages. Miracle days are here again. They're alive again. And so John chapter 3, this is a very familiar scripture, but we're going to see something in it right now that connects directly to your healing. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life. Zoe. The God kind of life. The God life that lives on the inside of the born again believer. Everlasting life is not just for later. It's not just for in the times to come, but it's for us right now. That life is for us right now. Everlasting, eternal life. The everlasting and eternal are the same words. Eternal life. But it's not only the duration of the life, but it's also the quality of the life. And it's the quality of the life that we live right here. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So receiving Him, you receive salvation. And salvation is not just going to heaven. It's not just missing hell and going to heaven as a destination. I thank God for that. I look forward to that. I look forward to seeing my family. I look forward to being in the presence of Jesus Himself. I look forward to that. But what about between now and that time? Well, it covers, that salvation covers everything in our lives right here. From provision to protection to, and as we're talking about today, living healed, whole, well, and strong. Healed, whole, well, and strong. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And as I was putting this together, I was typing this out, and this just came out. I wasn't even thinking about it. But in Psalm 103, we are going to look at the believer's benefits package. The believer's benefits package. I love that. And it covers everything. The blood of Jesus covers everything. The covenant that we have with God covers everything. Everything in our lives. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. And so we see that there is a believer's benefits package. Let me get over there with you in Psalm 103. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." I like that. I like that. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." There's just some times that I start talking to myself. And I'll just say, "Heart, you are blessed. Kidneys, you are blessed. Legs, you are blessed. Nerves, skin, you are blessed. Hair, you are blessed. Sight, you are blessed. Smelling, nose, you are blessed. Ears, you are blessed." And I just begin to talk to my body, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. My soul is blessed. My mind is blessed. My brain is blessed." I can just feel you right now wanting to say that. Say it after me. "My mind is blessed.
My mind is blessed.
My body is blessed.
My body is blessed.
My heart is blessed.
My heart is blessed.
My kidneys are blessed.
My kidneys are blessed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
On the inside.
On the inside.
I'm blessed.
On the outside.
On the outside. My eyes.
My
eyes. My ears.
My ears.
My throat.
My throat.
Everything,
everything
in my body,
in my
connected to my body, is blessed."
Is blessed.
Can you thank the Lord for that? Oh, we talked about last week, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You choose. You choose. What are you saying over yourself? What are you putting down on the inside of yourself? "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And my emotions are blessed. My emotions are blessed. My emotions do not run away. I do not lose control. Because my soul is blessed. My heart is at peace. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So let's look at these. First of all, it says, "Who forgives all your iniquities." Who forgives all of your iniquities? My mind is going here. Who forgives all you? I was studying this one time. And I saw something in this scripture. And I saw this not just as these various things that the Lord has blessed us with, but I also saw it as a progression. And I saw this, "Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases." The Amplified translation of that there says, "Who forgives every one of all of your iniquities, who heals each one of all your diseases." And I was studying this one time and I saw it more as a progression. It begins with forgiveness. The healing of the body begins with forgiveness. You have to forgive and you have to be forgiven. You have to let go. You have to release. That's what the word forgive means. It means to release. And there are things that we carry with us that we shouldn't be carrying with us. There are grudges. There's anger. There are past things that have gone on that it would be really good for you to let it go. Let it go. It would bless the body for you to do that. And I saw that progression, "Who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases." And I love the Amplified, "He forgives every one of all of your iniquities." And this is what the Lord's impressing me with right now, that there's some that don't believe they can be healed because of what they did in the past. And that's why he's saying he will forgive everyone of all of your iniquities, all of your mistakes, everything that you've ever done. He will cleanse you of that with the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. The past is over. The past is gone. The past is dead. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And even after you become a new creation and you mess up and you make a mistake or you do something, there's forgiveness that's available to us. And I was, hold your place there in Psalm 103 and look over there at Psalm 107. And it reminded me of an incident that took place with my dad. My father began smoking when he was a teenager. That would have been back in the 1930s. And then he began drinking. And that's what you did You would drink, you would smoke, got into World War II, was drinking, smoking. And then after World War II, his desire, his passion was graphic design. So he went to New York. My parents went to New York and he began to work there in advertising. And the pressure was intense. And he just smoked and he drank and he smoked and he drank and he became an alcoholic. Well, he quit smoking on October 21st, 1979. That was the day that my son was born. He quit smoking because he wanted to see my son grow up. He wanted to see his grandson grow up. The drinking actually stopped. It was in, I believe it was in November of 1963. He quit drinking. Well, some years ago, and this was probably during the late 90s, I received a phone call from my dad. And he said, George, I just got a report from the doctors. They said that I have liver cancer and I only have 6 months to a year to live. My father said to me, George, what do I do? What do I do? And I knew the answer. I said, we've got to go into an action plan. And my dad started looking up scriptures. I started looking up scriptures. We were comparing scriptures with each other. And one day we looked at the scriptures that we had, and there was one in particular that really jumped out at me. You see, my dad was lamenting the fact that he had smoked, that he drank, and he said, that's why I'm going through this right now, because of what I did in the past. And the Lord took us over to Psalm 107 and verse 17. And it says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Because of what they've done to themselves, how they've hurt themselves, whether it's been in drugs or whatever they've done to their bodies. And it says, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of food, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So I talked to my dad. And I said, Dad, have you received forgiveness for what you've done to your body? And he really hadn't, so he went through the process of that. And he received his forgiveness. He received his cleansing. And so now he's living in Massachusetts. I'm living in Texas, but I'm calling him every day. See, when you deal with something like this, you need to get rid of what Eileen said, the distractions in your life. And you need to focus in on the word. What does the word have to say about this? What does the word tell us about this? And so I called him every day. Every day we would go through this. We would go through the scripture. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Even though he did what he did, he received his forgiveness. And a month went by, and 2 months. Now we're entering into the place where the doctors were saying that he was going to die. 6 months, 6 months went by. We're still standing on this scripture. We're still believing God. A year went by. Another year. 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 And when Dad passed away, there was no sign of liver cancer. I was talking to my father one day in the midst of all of this, and he said, George, he said, the Lord ministered this to me. He said, I am delivered. I am delivered. So I want you to do this right now. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Heavenly Father, I receive forgiveness right now for everything that I've ever done. Okay, hold on just a minute. Let me explain. You can put your hand down for just a moment. I did this not too long ago. I do this fairly regularly. Just like you tune up a car, I'm tuning up me just to make sure. And I'll go through this with him. Father, I receive forgiveness whatever it is, whatever I did, things that I've done, I receive forgiveness. And as I'm doing that, I say, I forgive every one of everything that has ever been done to me. Say, I forgive everyone of everything they have ever done to me. And it would take a while for all of us here and those of us that are watching to sit down and talk about all the things that have been done to you. All the words, all the actions, all the stuff. All of us have dealt with this. You're not alone. The devil tries to isolate you, tell you you're the only one that's going through this. And that's not true. It's not true. So I go through this exercise every so often just to tune up and to make sure that Pastor George is on the right track. I receive my forgiveness. Say, I receive my forgiveness for anything I've ever done. And I forgive everyone of everything that has been done. By the blood of Jesus, I am forgiven and I forgive. Thank God for that. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. So I just sensed in my heart it was so important before I lay hands on people today that you've done that. Don't carry that. Don't carry it. Don't carry that weight any longer. And get on over into the joy of life. Get on over into experiencing the Zoe life, the life of God Himself. So He forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. That benefit is protection. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You're covered by Him. You're covered in His love. You're covered in His mercy. You're covered in His grace. And then it says, who satisfies your mouth with good things, or you could say there, who satisfies your mouth with good words. Words, the words from God, what God says about you, who you are in Christ Jesus, what belongs to you. And He does that so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I call that age reversal. I'm in the process right now of a major, major experiment. This is a major experiment that's taking place. Many people don't know about it. But I am in an experiment of age reversal. It's my own private, experiment that I'm doing. And I was talking to somebody just before. You see me down here with teenagers at the start of the service. I love meeting with teenagers because I are one. In some ways, I'm still there. I'm still there. And I'm endeavoring in my life to not get old. Minded. There's age that takes place, but don't get old-minded. Don't be old-minded. I was talking to the trainer that we have here at the gym. We were in the gym and he was talking about how people, as they start to get old, the stride of their feet begins to come closer and closer. You have a stride like this, but then all of a sudden, for some reason, old people think they can start walking like this. And then they start bending over like this. No. In my age reversal experiment and project, the age reversal project, the International Age Reversal Project, one of the things is that you stand up straight. I'm working on that. I'm working on that. I'm married to somebody who helps remind me of that. And then the stride. I walk like this. This is how I walk. I walk. I do not walk old. I walk young. I walk young. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen to the Amplified Classic. Who satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation with good, so that your youth renewed is like the eagles, strong, overcoming, and soaring. Say, I am strong, I am overcoming, and I am soaring. Praise God. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Let's talk about further the benefit of healing, the benefit of health, living in divine health, living in divine health. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. The benefit of healing. And this scripture is talking about Jesus. This is Isaiah seeing into the future prophetically and seeing Jesus. And it says about him, surely, this is amplified, surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. And he carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needed to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Say this after me. Surely,
surely,
he has borne my griefs.
Sicknesses,
weaknesses,
and distresses.
He carried my sorrow
and the pain of punishment.
He was wounded for my transgressions.
He was bruised for my guilt
and my iniquities.
The chastisement needed to obtain peace.
The word peace is shalom, shalom. Nothing is missing and nothing is broken. Nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. I have peace in my body. I have peace in my body. You should say that. I have peace in my body. Nothing is missing and nothing is broken. My body is being recharged, strengthened. And so... The chastisement needed to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. Say, with his stripes that wounded him,
I am healed and made whole.
Now we receive that. We take that word. He sent his word and healed his people. Let me read this to you. This is after the resurrection. 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself, talking about Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Past tense. We were healed. If we were healed, that means we are healed. I like this. Our healing is already an accomplished fact. Say, my healing
is already
an accomplished fact. Now, why do I have you repeat things like I do? I mean, Pastor Terry calls me Captain Confession. Why do I do that? Because there's life in your words and you need to say it. You need to go back and listen to last week's message about the language of health and practice that yourself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. In the same way that King David did. Our healing is already an accomplished fact. My healing, already done. Already done. We receive by faith what God has already provided through Jesus' sacrifice. We receive it by faith. We take it by faith. It belongs to us. Now, some say, and you may have heard this, and I want to clear this up, and I'm not criticizing any other pastor, speaker, or church, but you just need to know this. Because I came out of this where people would say, well, you never know if it's God's will for you to be healed or not. Maybe, just maybe, he put that sickness on you to teach you something. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie. That's a lie. No, that's confusion.
He teaches us, corrects us in His word, and He has no sickness or disease to give. He doesn't. You just have to look. Let me read John 10:10 from the Amplified Translation. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I mean, there's a dividing line right there. Who's responsible for sickness and disease? Who's responsible for healing? And you cannot commingle them. They're not working in collaboration with each other. Jesus and the devil do not work in collaboration with each other. No, the devil doesn't come to Jesus and say, what do you need today? Well, this guy's really not behaving. You need to put some sickness on him so you can teach him a lesson. Okay, great. High five. No. There's a dividing line right there where Jesus said, I came. Now, Jesus, when we read this, sometimes we read it, the thief only comes in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have enjoy life and have it in abundance until it overflows. That's not how he said it. That's not how he said it. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. Let me make it clear to you. I have come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. So the devil does not collaborate with the kingdom of God. He's the one that brings sickness and disease and strife and division, spirit of division. That's what he does. Let me make it clear to you. It is God's will for you to be healed. No question. And you have to settle that. That has to be settled. It is the will of God for you to be healed. And you look at the ministry of Jesus. Jesus came and he said, whatever I hear the Father say, I say. Whatever I see the Father do, I do. Not once, not one time at all. In the ministry of Jesus, did you ever see him put sickness on somebody? Not one. Not one. What was he doing? He was seeing the Father. He only did what he saw the Father do. And let me give you a couple of examples. You can write these down. This is Matthew 8, verses 1 through 3. And it says, when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, no, the devil has put that on you to teach you something, and I'm going to back away from this. You don't know about leprosy, too. You know, it's communicative. I could get that. No, he didn't say that. He said, I will. It said he stretched out his hand and he touched him, saying, I will be clean. And there it's saying, he's saying, not just, I will. No, that's a stronger word than that. No, I must. I must. I do whatever I see the Father do. And I must. I can't help myself. I can't help myself from healing. That's who I am. That's what I do. I'm a reflection of the Father. And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Well, you've got a rare disease. A rare disease. Very few people have that disease. Well, let me tell you something about that rare disease. Jesus hung on the cross, died, went down into the pit of hell, and took upon himself every single disease that has ever been named. He bore the curse for you and me. And then he was raised up from the dead. And when he was raised up, he raised us up with him. And you and I are now seated in heavenly places with him. And we have dominion and authority over sickness and disease. You have dominion over every sickness, every disease, even long-standing. Don't acclimate yourself to whatever thing the devil has put on you. Don't adjust your ways. Don't say, well, I'm just going to live with that. No, you're not. No. Well, I'm just going to put up with it. No, you're not. You're not. And at the first moment, you start speaking to your body. You speak to it. You talk to it. You tell it. You tell it what the word says. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. You were healed, so you are healed. My healing is already an accomplished fact. There is a devil out there who's trying to steal it from you. You are not the sick trying to get well. You are the healed. And the devil's trying to steal that from you. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Matthew 12, 15, great multitudes followed him and he healed them all. All. In the book of Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. And right after that, what does it say? And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He only did what he saw the Father do. He only said what he heard the Father say. And you see so much in here. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Power. And what did he do with that power? What did he do with that power? He gave it to us. He gave that to us. He didn't use that power to put sickness on you. Got to clear that out of your thinking. This may be a revelation to some that you've never heard before. I do not take it for granted that there may be some in here who have heard that, questioned it, wondered about it. Let's clear that up today. It is the will of the Father, the desire of the Father, either with a natural father. I mean, would a natural loving father try in some way to hurt a child? No, absolutely not. They put you in jail for that. They put you in jail for trying to hurt, I mean, really hurt a child. Well, our Heavenly Father doesn't do that. He wants you well. He wants you healed. He wants you whole. He wants you delivered. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about, he went about doing good things. Good things. He went about doing heavenly things. He went about doing what God called him to do, and that was to heal all who were oppressed of the devil. Heal all that were oppressed of the devil. Then it says, for God was with him. I see nothing in there about God putting sickness on you. That's done. We have together obliterated that sacred cow. It is, it's been shot. It's dead, and we're burying it right now. First John 5, 14 and 15. Let me read this to you from the Amplified Translation. First John 5, 14 and 15. There's a boldness. There's a boldness that rises up on the inside of us to take what rightfully belongs to us in Christ. He bore that. He took that. He went to hell so that you and I don't have to. And he took all of that. He took every bit of the curse. If you were to go and look at the Deuteronomy 28, and you look past verse 15 into all of the curses, you'll find out what you've been delivered from. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Say, I'm redeemed from the curse of sickness. And I walk in the blessing of Abraham. 1 John 5:14. This is the Amplified. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness. And I'll say this right now to you. The Lord reminded me of this. As you're hearing my voice, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith for healing comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You're hearing the Word of God. He sent His Word and He healed His people. So this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, God's Word is His will. This is the will. And we are the inheritors of the will. And whatever it says in there belongs to us. And I'll give you this statement. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith stops at the question mark. When you have a big question mark as to whether or not it's God's will for you to be healed, to be whole, to be well, your faith stops right there. And I know because, and I'm grateful. I'm so grateful that after I got saved, I got involved in a church, but I began to learn, my mind began to get renewed. But there's something that happened to me when I went to Oral Roberts University, and I sat under that ministry of Oral Roberts. And then something further happened to me when I met Pastor Terry, and she started introducing to me to the teachings of her father. And hearing things I'd never heard before, it settled it. Where healing was concerned, I found out that I don't have to be sick. I found out that what was said to me at one time, well, you never know if it's God's will or not. I know for sure. I know for a surety. That's what the scripture is talking about here. If you ask and make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, the plan of God for you is to live strong and long. His plan for you is to rise up and not only be healed yourself, but you lay hands on the sick. You see them recover. That's the plan of God. It says in agreement with His plan, He listens to and He hears us. And if, since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possession the request made of Him. It is the will of God for you to be well. The request going before Him, Father, I believe I receive my healing. I believe that I've been given this present possession. I take it in the name of Jesus. Healing is God's will for His children. Healing is the manifestation of the love of God for you. Say, I receive the love of God. I receive the love of God. There are some people that believe that they are not worthy enough to receive that healing. It doesn't matter at all whether you feel like you're worthy or not worthy. He sees you as worthy. You have been made, if you're born again, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We are the righteousness of God. We've been made worthy in Him. So stop trying to do it, but receive from Him. I want the singers and the musicians to come, and I want you to take a look at Mark 16, these are the final instructions that were given to the disciples. These are the final mandate that Jesus left with them to be able to carry on. And that carrying on is not just with them. It carries on past the disciples. Some people say, well, healing passed away with the disciples. Wrong. With the apostles. Wrong. Wrong again. Wrong again. No, it's carried on from one generation to the next, to the next. I mean, if you were to accuse my father, my earthly father, of doing some horrible thing to me, I'd say you were a liar. Because I know him, I know his character, I know his love. It's the same thing with the Heavenly Father. He would not do that. He does not do that. No, he does everything he can to remove the burden, destroy the yoke that's upon his people. And so Mark 16:15, and Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. And he that does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them." Now look at this last line. "They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." This is one of the ways that God uses for people to be made well, is for hands to be laid upon them. And here in a few minutes, I'm going to be inviting those who would like to have these hands laid upon them. Because what happens is there's a power from on high that comes in me, goes through me, into you. And when you come, I want to give this specific instruction to you. When you come to the front, close your eyes. Close your eyes. When these hands touch you, see them as the hands of Jesus. As if Jesus were standing right in front of you. But I want you to come with an attitude. I want you to come with an attitude. I want you to come not with a thought of, "I hope I get healed." That's instruction for people coming to an altar call. People will come up and they'll have hands laid on them. "Oh, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. I hope I get it." Well, I want to challenge you. When you come up here, you be bold and you be aggressive and you take what belongs to you. You take what rightfully belongs to you. And don't carry this, "Well, I hope and I wonder." No, we're working together in this. And it would help you greatly if you came to the altar with a boldness and a confidence that what God has for you, you are going to take it. Say, "I'm taking it today. I'm taking it today." Now, the key to this is when you leave the altar and you go home, you've got to stay on the word. You got to immerse yourself in the Word of God. You got to keep it going in your ears. You got to keep it coming out your mouth. You got to put it before your eyes. You got to get rid of all the distractions around you. Because these are serious things that we deal with in the physical body. And I'm telling you, there are ways to handle this. But this right here, we are believing with you today. We are standing with you today. I want you to stand with me right now. Put your hand over your heart. Say this after me. "I take my healing.
I take my healing.
Right now.
Right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I am bold
to lay hold
of what rightfully belongs to me. Healing belongs to me now. And I receive it. And if I come to this altar, hands will be laid upon me, and I shall recover according to the Word of God." Now, I believe that for you. I'm believing it for the people that are watching us right now. And what I want to do this is that if you're believing for healing, I'm not there with you, but we're connected by the Spirit. And those of you that can, I want you to stand. I want you to stand. And then those of you who want to come to the altar, okay, how you want to do this? Be seated. And then those of you who want to come to the altar, I want you to begin to make your way up here. No, wait, stop. Everybody stop. I'm listening, okay? I'm getting instructions. Put your hands over your heart again. Say, "Heavenly Father,
I receive Jesus
as my Lord and my Savior. You are my healer.
You are my deliverer.
And I receive you now. I'm not taking it for granted that everybody in here is saved. I'm not taking it for granted for that. But we all have to remind ourselves that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. And that's the first step to being healed, is to make Him the Lord of our lives. And so those of you who desire to have Pastor lay hands on you and to transmit this anointing, this power, I want you to come right up here to this altar. Come to the altar and let's just begin to sing and just to worship the Lord. What do you have? Thank you, Lord.